Yeah, start on the top of Lamed Hamad Aleph with the first line there. The Gemara, from what we saw in yesterday's Amud, actually is important, and that was the statement of Ula. Because Ula said yesterday, Ha'ochel shlishi shel chulin, someone who eats a shlishi, which is chulin shenaseu al tarata chuma. The reason it has a shlishi is because it was chulin that was done al tarata chuma, therefore it can reach down to a shlishi le tuma. But because he ate it, it has an impact on him, not for maga. If he touches something now, it will have no impact in terms of chuma, but it is melechol b'chuma. He cannot consume chuma. Someone who ate a shlishi l'tum'a b'chulin sh'nasel t'ret chuma may not consume chuma. That was the statement of Ula. Rav Yonatan makes a statement that is very similar, but slightly different. And that's what the Gemara is going to discuss now. That I'm Rav Yonatan, I'm a rabbi. Ochel shlishi shel chuma atzma. Asur le'echol u'mutar liga. So you see the little difference or nuance between Rabbi Yonatan and Ula's statement. Ula's statement was made about chulin shenaseh al tarat ha'truma. Rabbi Yonatan's statement is made about truma itself. So in that, Rabbi Yonatan Amar Rabbi, ochel shlishi shel truma atzma, asur le'echol u'mutar liga. Okay, it comes to the same conclusion as Ula, which is that you cannot eat it, but you can touch it. Now the Gemara wants to know, v'itzrich to Ula, v'itzrich to Rabbi Yonatan. Why do I need both statements? Why do I need both the statement of Ula, which spoke about chulin shnasu al tarat ha'truma, and I also, in addition to that, need the statement of Rabbi Yonatan, which speaks about Shuma itself. Where it says, Di'imi Ula, finally had Ula's statement that talked about Chulin Shanasu Atarata Chuma. Hava minahani mili b'chulin Shanasu Atarata Chuma. That's only true by Chulin Shanasu Atarata Chuma. Hava Chuma Atzma. Benigia Nami Asur. When it comes to Chuma itself, where Shlishi is real, I mean, as opposed to Chulin Shanasu Atarata Chuma, which is a Chumra that somebody takes on in Chulin, by Chuma, where Shlishi is a real form of Tuma, then maybe I would think that not only is it a problem to eat the Chuma, but I can't even touch Chuma. So that's what Yitzchak the Rabbi Yonatan. That's what Rabbi Yonatan comes to teach us, that the same din applies to Chuma. Not only are you not allowed to eat it, but you're also permitted to touch it. Like my says, V'ibar Rabbi Yonatan, had I only had the statement of Rabbi Yonatan, Hava mina hani mili Chuma. That's true only by Chuma. Hava chulin, what's chulin shenasu atara to Chuma, v'achila nami shari. Maybe they're even mutter to eat. So tzrichi. That's why I need both of these statements. So that's the conclusion of this piece of the Gemara, which is Ula's statement and Rabbi Yonatan's statement. And they both teach us the same idea, which is that even though when it comes down to a shlishi in Truma, if one eats it, becoming a shlishi or revealed in Truma does not relevant in Truma. So in terms of Truma, for Truma, it's irrelevant. But because the Chachamim were gozer in these instances that someone who eats something that is tamei, it affects them because we're afraid of someone eating that together with chuma. Therefore, someone who eats shlishi l'tum'a will have a problem with eating chuma or chulin shenaseh tarat chuma, but he will not have a problem with touching. I'm assuming they don't argue, and that each one of them came to teach us the chiddush of the side that they're bringing, but not to the exclusion of the other. I don't think they necessarily argue. Josh, I don't think their statements are made to be mutually exclusive. I think their statements are made to bring the chiddush of what they're speaking about. So now, Yotiv Rav Yitzchak bar Shmuel bar Marto kamei de Rav Nachman b'Yotiv kamar ha'ochel shlishi shel chulin shenasu al tarat ha'kodesh tahor lechol b'kodesh she'en lecha davar she'oseh revi'i b'kodesh el kodesh mikudash bovad. We have a situation where we're talking about kodesh. Here's a person who eats a shlishi in an instance where it's chulin shenasu al tarat ha'kodesh. This is chulin that was done al tarat ha'kodesh, which does have a revi'i. Remember, if it can get to a shlishi, kodesh does have a revi'i. Nevertheless, tachor lechol b'kodesh. This person can eat kodesh. She'ein lecha davar she'oseh revi'i b'kodesh. That idea that there's a revi'i b'kodesh only exists in one situation. And that is ela b'kodesh mikudash bilvad. And Rashi defines what kodesh mikudash bilvad is. Rashi says that's talking about specifically kodesh gamur. Something that's absolutely kodesh, which means basar korban, chalot todah, that have been nishkat hazevach aleihem, minachot, that were put into a kli sharet. We're talking about, that's literal kodesh. As Rashi says, not kedusha bepeh, where you assign the kedusha to the item, and not in an instance where you've created some sort of form of kedusha over here. So Rashi states, and we know this is true, that the revi bekodesh is a maila in kodesh. It's something that's unique to kodesh. If you remember, if we know that there are different silos, there's chulin, there's truma, there's kodesh, there's para. Each one of those silos has its own chumrot in terms of kedusha. And when it comes to Kodesh, Kodesh's Chumrah is that it reaches a Revi L'tumah. But Rav Yitzchak comes along and says that's very limited. The fact that the Chamim extended it, and this is according to Rashi Shita, this is all Derabbanan, this Din Derabbanan that the Chamim extended or extrapolated to a Revi L'tumah only applies by Kodesh Mikudash Bavat. Only when you're an absolute Kodesh. It's only when you're dealing with things that are real Kodesh, things that are Karbanot, things that were placed into a Kli Sharei, things that became Kedoshas HaGuf. Those are items that can have a Revi L'tumah. Otherwise, you do not have a Revi L'tumah. Therefore, someone who ingested a shlishi of chulin shenaseh atarot kodesh, he can eat kodesh because he's a shlishi. And the only thing that he would do then is make a revi. But a revi, again, is only relevant when you're talking about real kodesh, not when you're talking about the individual or any other things surrounding the kodesh itself. Tosafot disagrees with Rashi. He says it's a din doraita. The revi l'tumah is also a din doraita. I mean, it's the same conclusion. He just says it's doraita as opposed to Rashi, who thinks that it's a din derabbanan, a chumra derabbanan by revi. These are items that are chulin shenasu atarat kodesh, things that are given the properties of kodesh, or things that are kedusha tapeh, things that have not reached the status of kedusha taguf. Those will be the items that he won't have any impact. Tzviya. The thing is that he's ingesting a shlishi here, and technically he should become a revi'i, or he should now be pasul to consume kodesh. The answer is that he's not. Because he's not kodesh mikudash, he never takes on the property of becoming a revi'i or becoming something that's pasul to a whole kodesh. So he could eat kodesh mikudash after this, because the passage of shlishi to revi'i only happens in the context or the presence of kodesh mikudash. But if he ingests the shlishi, which is atarat kodesh, he does not, then his body or his guf doesn't take on those properties, and he can eat. He remains tahor the gabei kodesh. If it's really shlishi the kodesh, he can't eat it. Chulin shenasu atarat kodesh, there's no real isur in consuming the kodesh that's tameh. When you're dealing with real kodesh, kodesh that's tameh, you can't consume. He won't have a case like that. Because there's an isur to consume kodesh that's tameh. Here we're talking about chulin shenasu atarat kodesh, even though it's tameh, you can still eat it, because it's really chulin in the end. That's why all the scenario here is a case where it's chulin shenasu atarat kodesh, because then if you eat it, there's no isur in eating it. So now, Meitiv Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama now challenges this position that was laid out by Rav Yitzchak, which is shlishi, sheni lekodesh, ve'ein sheni lechuma, v'chulin shenasu atarat chuma. So this is the statement that we had from Rabbi Yoshua that we discussed in yesterday's daf, and that is that when you have a shlishi by chulin shenasu atarat chuma, it makes it a sheni in kodesh. Ve'ein sheni lechuma. It doesn't make it a sheni lechuma. We discussed in yesterday's daf whether it makes a shlishi lechuma or not. That's by truma. Am I? Why is that the case? Halav kodesh mikudesh hu. Why is it that you have a shlishi here that's affecting kodesh? It's pushing kodesh back to being a sheni, meaning that there's more tuma levels left in kodesh. There you're not talking about kodesh mikudesh. You're not talking about a korban there. You're not talking about cases that allow you to get to an revi'i, but we're talking about regular chulin shenasu atarat gachuma, and we're saying that it's affecting kodesh and making it into a sheni the kodesh. But why can you transmit and create extra levels of tum'ah in kodesh if in this instance there's no kodesh mikudash? Amarle, hanech lechuma shetarata tum'ahi etzela kodesh. He says, wait, you're dealing with a different issue. And this is what we discussed before, which is that there are silos when it comes to tum'ah. There's chulin, there's truma, there's kodesh, there's para, and even then, when you have truma, you have chulin shenasu atarat truma, and kodesh, there's chulin shenasu atarat kodesh. We have a principle that anybody who keeps tara for truma is considered to be totally tameh when it comes to kodesh. So that's what he says. Haneich, you're asking me a question about something where you're trying to move from truma over to kodesh. Moving from truma over to kodesh is a problem, not because you can make a revi'i in kodesh versus not in truma. The problem is that anything that's in truma becomes hugely problematic in kodesh, because we assume that whatever they did in truma is no good, and that they're tamei legamrei. So now he says, I can prove that. We're not temra. How can I prove that to you? It's not. We have a Mishnah in Chagiga. Big day amaretz, midras leprushim. Big day prushim, midrash lochei. Truma, big day ochle truma, midras the kodesh. The clothing of an ama aretz for a parush, that's one who eats his chulin al tara, he has a problem. If he comes into contact with the beged of an ama aretz, we assume that that can convey tuma. Same thing with the big day of a prushim who keep chulin b'tara. When it's someone who's looking at truma, his begadim are problematic for him. And same thing on the next level. If you have someone who eats truma, it's problematic for kodesh. And it goes one step further that someone who keeps Tarat HaKodesh is problematic for someone who keeps Tarat HaPara. Para goes to Chamishi Betumah. But what you see here is that each silo lives independently, and just because you keep the Tarat HaTrumah doesn't mean that you're really Tahor when it comes to Kodesh. You're asking me a question when you're moving from silo to silo. That's not a good question in my position. My position is when you're in the category of Kodesh, you can't get to a Revi unless you have Kodesh Mekudesh Bilvad. You want to jump from Truma to Kodesh? You're asking me about jumping silos. When you jump silos, the Truma is irrelevant. The Tarat HaTrumah is irrelevant when it comes to Kodesh, as if there was no Tarat at all. Amar Rava, Rava answered him and says, wait a minute, Rav Yitzchak, how could you bring that as your proof? Midrasot kamart. You're talking about midras, tumat midras, shiny midrasot. Midras is an unusual type of tuma. Shema teshev elem ishto nida. Because maybe his wife is a nida, sat on it. Aval bepere, when we're talking about food, lo amrinan. We don't say that there's independent silos. So this idea of independent silos only exists in the tumat midras, does not exist in tuma of ochlim. Tumat midras is a form of tuma that applies to a nida and to a zav. It's a terminology that's technical to Tumah describes tumot that are conveyed sitting on or laying on an item rather than the normal way of conveying through maga, contact, or masah of carrying it. So it's someone who, if they sit on an item, conveys Tumah that way. If they lay on such an item, they convey Tumah that way, even though they're not in direct contact with the item or they're not necessarily carrying the item. What's the difference between them? Why would you make such a distinction? It has to do with frequency. Which is, if you look at the top Rashi, you can see this. Shema teshev, shema yashva. Maybe she sat on them. Ba'afagav de'ochle truma mizdehare, they careful. Ba'ashapir, they keep truma carefully. Mil gabe kodesh lo avishmira. It's not considered real shmira. V'chashin an ho v'tum'a mitzuyahi. And this is the big factor here. V'tum'at midras, that's something that's very common. That his wife who's a nida will sit on his clothing. And she'll make it tameh. She's able to then convey the tumah through that sitting onto the beged. And because of that, we assume that whatever she keeps, when you have a mindset or a silo within truma, we don't allow you to jump and say that that works equally in the silo of kodesh. Whereas when it comes to perot, de ein tumatan mitzuya, that perot become tameh, that's not so common. Havishmira tumah, shmira the kodesh. Whatever level you keep or shomer in tumah in that silo will work and be preserved in the silo of kodesh. So Rava says, you're trying to bring a proof here that when you jump from tumah to kodesh, that we ignore all the things that you've done until now. That's true when you're talking about tumat ridras. But when you're talking about tumat ochlim, which is what we're discussing over here, about ochel, there's no such concept. Whatever is good for tumah is also good for kodesh. So why should it be when I jump from tumah over to kodesh, that all of a sudden the truma, shlishi and truma, makes a sheni and kodesh? That must mean, Rav Yitzchak, that your statement is incorrect. That the only time, you're saying the only time to get to Revi is kodesh mikudesh bovad. I'm seeing something else here. I'm seeing that even with ochel, I can get to this Revi of the tumah. For Rav Yitzchak, what's Rav Yitzchak's response? Bepere nami, Omar. That also by perot. That this distinction between silos applies not only by midras, tumat midras, but also applies to tumata perot. That he thinks that this distinction between silos is not just a din in midras or unique to midras, but even in perot it will apply. The Gemara says, "Meiti Rav Yirmiyahu midifti umi amina bepeire." Can you really have such a position like Rav Yitzchak that there's such a distinction within perot? That's not. We have a Mishnah. Mishnah says, "Im amar hefrashti l'tocha revi'it kodesh ne'ma velo ka metamile truma lakodesh v'yamart tarata." Tumahi etzel kodesh titamei tumah lekodesh. So this is a Mishnah Chagiga which discusses the issue of whether we believe amei haaretz when it comes to tumah. So there the Mishnah tells us there are two times that amei haaretz are believed when it comes to tumah. Number one is by nisachim, by kodesh. They are believed about anything there. If they say it's tahor, we believe them and it's considered tahor. The reason for that is, and that's Rashi brings it over here, because we're afraid that if we say that we can't believe people when it comes to their saying that it's Tahor LeKodesh, then everybody's going to go build their own Bama, build their own Mizbeach, and do their own thing. I mean, that you're creating disunity in the Am Yisrael, and then everybody's going to have to make their own Tara and only believe themselves and make their own Mizbeach and their own Bama. So in order to avoid that, and to create a unity amongst Klal Yisrael, the Chachamim said that Amei Haaretz are believed. If they say, we were Shomer this item, this Yayin, this wine, we were Shomer to be used B'Kodesh, we believe them. And we say, fine, we can use it for Nisachim. On the other hand, when it comes to Truma, over there, the Chachamim made a distinction. And they said, during the time of the Gitot, and the time when they're impressing the wines, then the Amei Eretz are believed, because everybody's Metara themselves at that time. But any other time of the year, they're not believed. Now, this person brings up a barrel of wine that has in it both Kodesh and Truma. Tosfos discusses, how do you have such a case? How can the Kohen even eat it? If it has Kodesh and Truma mixed together, he says it has a din in Breira, the Kohen did it after the fact. Whatever the circumstances are. But the Mishnah there says that if he comes up and says that with regards to this, I have Yayin that is good for Nisachim in it, and I have Truma in there. You know, the Yayin by the Nisachim for Kodesh, he's believed. By Truma, he's not believed. But the Mishnah says that Migo, that he's believed by the Kodesh, he's also believed by the Truma. Now, if you were right that by Peirei, that we have silos, that we keep these silos separate, that means that if you kept something Betara for Truma, that doesn't make it automatically good for Kodesh, then why over here is he believed? Meaning that his Truma that's in this bucket is totally Tameh. And when he is Shomeret, it's going to affect the Kodesh that's in there and ruin the Kodesh that's in there. But we don't say that. We don't say we move from one silo to the other. So this is a proof against Rav Yitzchak's statement or position that within Ochel, within Peirei, we say that the silos remain independent. And if you kept it Betara to Truma, that, okay, you're fine for Kodesh. That's not true here. You see that the Kodesh is protected, even though he kept it al Tarat Truma. So he says, Amalei, Tuma b'chiburim kamart? You're talking about a unique case over here. This is Tuma b'chiburim. Now, chiburim generally is used as a term. It's a special term in Tuma, which means it's done through connection. But over here, it means that they're found in the same kli. Tuma b'chiburim shiny. Demigo d'mehemina Kodesh, mehemina mea Truma. This is a unique circumstance. Because he's believed about the Kodesh, he's also believed about the Truma. I mean, that's why he's given that additional benefit of the doubt. But in normal cases where you kept Truma separate from the Kodesh, that wouldn't work. And if there was a Truma that was kept with Tara, that if it came into contact with Kodesh would create a problem, according to Rabbi Yitzchak. It's only because he kept them in a single kli here, in a single kli, because he's believed by one. We can't say he's believed in half and not the other half. So there we make it as if there's a total, the Migo, that he's totally believed. But that's not the general principle that deals with the silos of Truma and Kodesh. All right, so now we have another challenge, which is Meitiv Rav Huna Bar Natan. Rav Huna Bar Natan brings a Mishnah from Taharot. The Mishnah in Taharot, the Gemara here ends a little bit early on the Mishnah. I'll read you the entire Mishnah just so that it's clearer. Which is that when you have Hasheni Shibachulin, when you come to Sheni and Chulin, something that's Hasheni Lutuman Chulin, Mitame Mashke Chulin. When it comes to Mashkim, and this is a Gzerat Chachamim by all liquids, that all liquids that become Tamei, even from Hasheni Lutuma, they revert to being a Rishon Lutuma. They revert to being a Rishon Lutuma because what are we afraid of? The Gzerat was put in place because of Mashke Azav, liquids that come out of Azav. Liquids that come out of Azav have a din of an Avatuma. And therefore, we are worried about those liquids of Azav. So they were gozer on all Mashkim, that they revert to being a Rishon Lutuma. So that everybody will be careful about liquids and the sort that they don't have the status of Avatuma or Rishon Lutuma. So here you have something that's a Sheni and Chulin. Sheni and Chulin should have no impact. It's over. Tuma's over in Chulin. Nevertheless, the Gzirat Chachamim is that if liquids come into contact with them, they revert to being a Rishon Lutuma. Uposel l'ochlei Truma. A Sheni Lutuma by Chulin still affects Truma because Truma has a Shlishi Lutuma. Hashlishi shebit Truma, when it comes to a third level of Truma b'Shruma, mitamei mashke Kodesh. It affects liquids in Kodesh. Because just like we have by Chulin, that a second tier Truma can affect the liquids to become Rishon Lutuma, so too by Shlishi Lutuma, it will affect liquids of Kodesh to become a Rishon. Uposel le'ochlei Kodesh. That same Shlishi Lutuma makes someone who's eating Kodesh pasul. They can't eat Kodesh. Shinasu, with the case that we're talking about here, Shinasu le'tarata Kodesh. That's only if this was done al tarata Kodesh. Avalim nasu le'tarata Truma, if it's made for tarata Truma, mitamei shnayim, uposel echad ba'Kodesh. Then it's mitamei shnayim, then it lives two levels down, uposel echad ba'Kodesh. And leaves one off in Kodesh, meaning that Mitameh Shnayim and Posel Echad means you have two levels. It becomes a Sheni, Shlishi, and Posel Echad means it comes a Revi'i, the Kodesh. So you see here, from this Braita that we're suggesting over here, when it comes to case of a Shlishi Litruma, that he can be Posel the Ochle Kodesh, that can ruin Ochle Kodesh, but that's only Shinasu the Tarata Kodesh, when they were doing a Tarata Kodesh. Avam Nasu the Tarata Truma, they done a Tarata Truma, then it makes Kodesh Tameh Legamre. Then it goes down the line. And that's the distinction in the Mishnah. The Gemara here doesn't bring the end of the Mishnah. But that distinction, the Mishnah says that's Shinasu Atarata Kodesh. That it's Posel Ochle Kodesh when it's done Atarata Kodesh, because there's a Revi'i the tuma there. But avalim nasu the tarat truma, if they're done for truma, mitameh shtayim uposel echad b'kodesh. It starts, it's like a reset. In Kodesh, it goes back to being a total reset in Kodesh. That's the case. How do we reconcile this? So the Gemara says, that's no problem, tnahi. It happens to be, it is a machloket tanaim. The Tanya. Chulin shnasu al tarat kodesh harihen kechulin. Chulin that's done al tarat kodesh have the same din as chulin. Abelazav Rebbe Tzadok omer harihen kechuma. Letameh shnayim ul'pasul echad. They only reach the level of shnayim pasul echad, which is the level of chuma. But what do you see over here? The author of this braita suggests that chulin shenasu atarat kodesh can never reach a revi'il kodesh. There's no revi'il kodesh in chulin shenasu atarat kodesh. So therefore, this Tano holds like Rabbi Yitzchak. That when it comes to Rabbi Yitzchak's statement before, that he says that you can reach a revi'i the kodesh only be kodesh mikudesh bovad, that's what this braita is suggesting also. That there's no revi'il kodesh in chulin shenasu atarat kodesh. The machlokes here is whether it gets to a sheni or a shlishi. But beyond that, nobody thinks it gets to revi'il kodesh, and that's exactly like Rabbi Yitzchak. The very first Mishnah that we brought disagrees and says that even by uchle kodesh, you can reach a revi'il kodesh. And that was the Meitiv Rav Huna. Meitiv Rav Huna just said before that when you have chulin shenasu atarat kodesh, you can reach a revi'il kodesh. By truma, you do have a total reset in it. By chulin shenasu atarat truma, then you have a total reset. But it's still a problem for Rabbi Yitzchak. Even over there, you see the two silos, that truma and kodesh are kept as separate silos. That's fine, but it still has a problem, which is that the Mishnah there before stated that you can reach a revi'il kodesh even by chulin shenasu atarat kodesh. The Gemara's answer is that we have machloket tanaim here. Machloket tanaim is whether you can reach a revi'il kodesh, chulin shenasu atarat kodesh. Rav Yitzchak says no, and this last braita that we just brought says a similar thing. No. On the other hand, the mishnah that we brought before, it says you can reach a revi'il, even chulin shenasu atarat kodesh, that argues on the position of Rav Yitzchak. So that's the end of this little tuma sugya. Now we're moving on to Rav Shimon and the mishnah. Shimon Mishnah says, Hukshru b'shchita, that shchita, it's machshir the animal that kabel tuma, even without the dam. Gemara says, Amar Vasi, Omer Rabbi Shimon, shchita to machshirit velo dam. The shchita works to be machshir and not the blood. My nafkamina, how's the blood coming there anyway? It's coming through the shchita. So why mafkamina? If the shchita works, then why do we care about the dam? The dam affects us by other things. If the dam squirted onto something else, does that dam machshir the kabel tuma for other items? So that's the question here. So the statement of Ravasi so far is that the shchita works, but the dam doesn't work at all. Dam of the shchita is not machshir the kabel tuma. Where it says lema misayle, let's say our mishnah helps. Rabbi Shimon Omer hukshru b'shchita. Sounds like from our mishnah that it's hukshir b'shchita. My la b'shchita velo b'dam. It only works by shchita and not by dam. Lo af b'shchita. No, it works. But Rabbi Shimon's statement in the mishnah is not that shchita alone. Means af b'shchita. Even when there's no dam, shchita works. But when there's dam, the dam also works. So Tashman, let's try it from another place. Amar lahem Rabbi Shimon, v'chi dam machshir? Does the dam really machshir? V'alo shchita machshiret? Isn't it the shchita that's machshir? So he says, no. So that sounds like dam, no. Shchita, yes. Gemara says, no, hachika, amar lahem. V'chi dam bilvad machshir? Is dam alone the thing that's machshir? Af shchita nami machshiret? Shchita on top of the dam is also able or capable of being machshir. So another attempt. Tashma. Rabbi Shimon Omer, dam ha-meit, enu machshir. The dam of someone who has passed away is not machshir. Now Rashi reads dam ha-meit over here as referring to an animal. Behema she-meita me'eleh, the animal dies by itself. Tosafot says that he doesn't think that the distinctions dam ha-meit, dam chalalim, which we're going to use there, are distinctions that are found in animals. Therefore, Tosafot thinks that dam ha-meit here is dam of a human being. So either way, if you're talking about dam ha-meit, according to Rashi, of a behema, or you're talking about dam ha-meit of a human being, enu machshir. It's not machshir lekabel tuma. My love, what would be the inference from this? Ha dam ha-shchita machshir. The dam ha-shchita would be machshir. Lo, Gemara says no. What's the inference? Ha dam chalalim machshir. And we'll define later on in the Gemara, we'll define what dam chalalim is. But the dam that makes a person into a halal or makes the behemah into a halal, that's what's machshir. Av adam shchita amai. So what's the din by dam shchita? Now you're suggesting lo machshir. That wouldn't be machshir. When it says if that's the case, lishma inan dam shchita, v'kosh akein dam amait. If that's the case, the biggest chiddush to tell us is that the dam shchita is not machshir. Once I know dam shchita is not machshir, I also know dam amait is not machshir. When it says it's trichle. No, I need to know about dam amait. Sakadat chamina malikatle ihu malikatle malachamovit. What's the difference between him killing the animal versus if it dies by itself? Or according to Tosafot, what's the difference between if this person is killed versus if he would die naturally? Maybe I would think that the dam hamet then should be mitameh kamash malon, that it's totally different. The dam hamet, after the person's already niftar, the dam is not makshir. It's only the dam chalalim, which takes away the life force of the individual, that is makshir. Gemara says, Tashma, Rabbi Shimon Omer, dam migafto, enu makshir. Megafato is a wound. A dam from a wound. Again, Rashi over here says it's a wound in an animal. Tosafot says megafato is a wound in a human being. Dam enu machshir. So my love, again, what's the inference we're going to draw from this? Ha dam shchita machshir. The dam shchita would be machshir. Rashi says lo. Ha dam chalalim machshir. The dam chalalim would be machshir. Aval dam shchita mai. So what would be the din by dam shchita? Lo machshir. So again, the Gemara says, teach me the biggest chiddush. Lishmein and dam shchita, which would be the biggest chiddush. Vakoshkein dam megafato. And certainly a wound, the blood from a wound won't be machshir. If dam shchita's not machshir, where it says, dam migafato itzrichle, I need this chiddush of dam of a wound. Why? Sakadat gmina malikatli kulo, malikatli palgo. What's the difference between dying totally and dying partially? This is a logic that's used by the Reino Tam in Shabbos, by why there's a problem of potzea, of wounding somebody or taking out blood on Shabbos. That's what the Reino Tam says, malikatli palgo, malikatli kule. I mean, what's the difference between taking some blood out and killing the animal and taking all the blood out? So here too, you might be saying, what's the difference between dam that takes his life away versus a wound, which is the beginning of the process of losing that blood? So maybe I would have thought that. And therefore, kamash malon, that we don't think in that manner. And that's why now, what we've concluded until now is that dam a mate and dam igafato. Dam from a mate or dam from a wound is not makshir lekabel tumah. Dam shchita, we're trying to suggest now that Rabbi Shimon believes that dam shchita does not makshir. And everybody agrees that dam chalalim is makshir. And that's what the Gemara wants to know. Umayshna dam chalalim de makshir. Why is it that dam chalalim are makshir? Because it says, Pasuk says, b'dam chalalim yishte, that they will drink the blood of the chalalim. So now, what do you see from that? That it becomes a shtia. It has the din of a, like mayim, that's a drink. And therefore, it's machshir lekabel tumah. But dam shchita namiktiv. So if that's the case, I also have a pasuk by dam shchita, which says, al ha'aretz tishpachenu kamayim. We found by the psulei mekudashim, it says about the blood there, al ha'aretz tishpachenu kamayim. So it has a din like mayim. So therefore, it should also be machshir. So my answer is no. How will the mishrei daman the psulei mekudashim? That's a special din that comes to teach us that by the dam of psulei mekudashim that it's mutar b'hana'a hu da'ata. Tells you that it's mutar b'hana'a. Sakadat chamina, because what do I have thought? Ho'il v'asirei b'gizei v'avoldo. I would have thought since they're also b'gizei v'avoldo, psulei mekudashim is something that was hekdesh, they got a mum in it, and then you have to redeem it. That animal, after it's been redeemed, becomes chulin. Chulin in the sense that you can eat it, you can get benefit from it, you can do whatever you want with it, but not everything you want with it. It says over there, has tizbach, below a giza, tizbach. You're allowed to shecht it to eat, but you can't shear it. Basar, below chalab. You're allowed to eat the meat, but you can't keep it around to milk it and use the milk of kodashim. So its specific usage becomes to eat it, but you can't do these other items. So what would have been my havamina? My havamina would have been, just like there are certain restrictions associated with psulei mekudashim, that maybe daman libay kvura. Blood would also require to be buried because the dam is left over from kodesh. What do you do with kodesh blood? It gets sprinkled on the mizbeach. So since this got knocked off the mizbeach, it has special dinim. Maybe one of those special dinim is that blood has to be buried. So kamash malon, that al aretz tishpachenu kamayim. You can just throw out the blood like water. You don't have to bury it. It has no special status. Now Tosafot points out that over here, that it has to be learned out of the word basar. Because it's truthfully by giza. It says tizbach below giza, that you're not allowed to shear it. But if you do shear it, the shearings are mutar. So it's over here. The blood, once it's spilled out, maybe it should be mutar. So Tosafot says we learn out of basar velo chalav, because over there you don't have that dispensation. The chalav never becomes mutar. So therefore over here also we would say the same thing by dam. Maybe it never becomes mutar. Kamash mal, that it is mutar. Now Tana debay Rabbi Shmuel, v'dam chalim yishte, prat l'dam kiluach, she'enu makshir et azorim. That comes to exclude dam kiluach, the spurting blood that is not makshir zraim. So Rashi over here explains to us what that is. If you look in the Rashi, prat l'dam kiluach, shemikizet abeima, when the animal is shechted or you take the blood out of the animal, b'tchila adam shotet. Beginning, it comes out b'tipa achat o shtayim, and it's one or two drops of blood that come out. V'achar kach hu mikaleach, then it starts to pulsate and shoot out. V'achar kach machshir, and then it becomes black. It darkens, meaning when it becomes the oxygenation of the blood keeps it red. As it's now pumped out and the oxygenation is being lost, the blood then starts to turn black. When it's turned black, the life has left the animal. That's what Rashi says over here. Ezu dam hakesha nefesh yotzei bo, mitipa mashcheret ve'elech. From the time the blood turns black and onward, that's when the dam is done. Avad dam kiluach lo ve'dam ha'nefesh. The blood that squirts out beforehand is not dam ha'nefesh. So the blood that's squirting out earlier is not dam ha'nefesh, therefore it doesn't attain the status of being makshir, because that's not called dam chalalim. So that means dam shchita, it's not makshir. Dam kiluach, also not makshir. Dam chalalim, yes makshir. Rashi says, when does that turnover happen? That turns over when the blood starts to turn blackish. That's when it happens, because that's the oxygen's now left, the deoxygenated blood. And that's the point at which the life force has left the animal, and that point it becomes dam chalalim, and that's what's machshir lekabel tuma. Tosafot takes issue with this Rashi, and he gives a different definition. If you want to look down at the Tosafot, you can see it. It's in the last narrow line of Tosafot. And he says, Elo kuli ama, dam kiluach neshama yotzei ba. When the blood is pulsing out, shooting out, that's when the life force leaves. The dama kazeh betchila yotzei shachor. The dama kazeh that we're talking about there comes out in the beginning as black. V'achar kach yotzei adon. Then it turns red. Hakol below kiluach. That's before it starts to pulsate. U'b'lesof mekaleach. And then in the end it pulsates. V'achar kiluach mima'et v'shotet v'red v'samuch. And then again it stops to pulsate and comes out slowly. So v'chol zman shemekaleach. According to Reish Lakish, already from the time it blackened, before it starts to pulsate, then the life force has already left it. And according to Rabbi Yochanan, it happens at the point that it starts to be mekaleach. Now based on that, if you skip two lines down, it comes to be makshir zraim, the kach eino makshir, mishum de dam chalalim ktiv, velo mikrei dam chalal, o de oto shiyotzei achar mita. That's only that comes after it's dead. Shenasek var halal, when it's already a halal. Prat adam ki luach sheinu lachar mita. That's not until it's after mita. V'chein perish akuntris bekritut. V'dam shchita have ipcho. Dam shchita is just the opposite. Delo chashiv dam shchita el adam sheneshama yotzei ba. That's only the blood that goes out when the life force is leaving. Of the achar mita, once it's dead, einu rekoi dam. It's not called dam or dam shchita anymore. So that'll be the threshold of which when something turns from dam shchita to dam chalalim. That threshold at that point is when the neshama goes out, when the life force is left, the animal. So what's considered dam shchita is the beginning, and the dam chalalim afterwards. So it'll make a difference, like for karbanot, where you need the dam shchita, that's the first blood that you need, the one when the life force is still in the animal, as opposed to dam chalalim, which is machshir lekabel tuma, that's only the dam that happens once the animal is already a chalal, when it's already a carcass, and it's no longer alive, that's dam chalalim. So that'll be the threshold. And Tosafot disagrees with Rashi over here, that turning black is all the way after the kiluach. He doesn't say, because he says, Reish Lakish says that the turning black is before it starts to pulsate out and the blood starts to spin out. And even Rabbi Yochanan, who says that it has to do with the mekaleach, is when it goes out. But that's at the point of mekaleach that it goes out, but not all the way at the end. Rashi is suggesting over here that it seems to be all the way at the end. After all this happens, that's when the life force goes out. But it says, no, it's at a much earlier point. And he says that's the way Rashi explains it in Kritut, and he disagrees with the way Rashi explains it over here. Okay, we'll stop over here, and we'll continue with the Gemara tomorrow.